Welcome back, and you're listening to a Radioactive Spring podcast. We now hear the story of a guy who does what he wants to do, regardless of what others think.
Skateboarding is typically associated with outcasts and misfits, and the risk of being injured is always high. Jesse Weinstock is a local Seattle skater. He believes skateboarding can be both an art form and a sport meant to challenge oneself. Radioactive's Zeb Tuji talks with him about the impact skateboarding has had on his life.
I started in about 1987, and skateboarding was pretty popular at the time due to the movie Back to the Future. We lived in Colorado Springs at the time, and the school I went to, skateboarding was kind of a cool thing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got swept up in it. And from there, I guess I just really took it on as an identity and what I did. When I moved schools, I moved schools a few times growing up, like after I kind of put this badge on myself that I was a skater. And one particular school I went to was in rural northeastern Washington, a town called Deer Park, and skateboarding was not the cool thing to do there at all. It was more about football, baseball, rodeo was kind of big. So I think it was there that I kind of took this position of like, okay, I'm a skater, but that kind of makes me an outsider, and like, maybe I'm not into the same things that everybody else is at my school, but I can do my own thing, and that's fine with me. You felt connected to this kind of underground thing, being a skater, mm-hmm. or I did anyways. Mm-hmm. And most of my best friends I met through skateboarding, like my oldest friend, Andy, I met him on the first day of seventh grade. I was like, oh, you have a skate shirt on. Do you skate? He says, yeah. Should come over to our house. We have a ramp. And we've been friends now for 30 years. Another one of my best friends, I met skateboarding on the campus of Western Washington University. And he brought me over to his house. And I said, hey, do you want to go ride this pipe at the paper plant? It's pretty sketchy. We might get arrested. And he said, yeah, let's do it. yeah, I have actually a lot of good memories of like kind of adventurous days, like going to some crazy spots. Like skateboarding has taken me to some weird locations. I've skated on rooftops. Skated pipe at the paper plant at GP that probably was full of chlorine dust. I skated a dam spillway in Canada that was one of the most epic days ever. Was like in this national park in Canada. We found out about it from some friends at the skate park in White Rock, BC. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, you should go to Golden Ears. It was like a 3-hour drive. We like snuck into this like dam spillway at a national park in Canada. And there's this crystal clear lake on the other side of the wall. We skated all day and went for a dip in the lake afterwards. And yeah, skated some empty swimming pools. That's always a rush because it's illegal. You're trespassing. You might get away with it. You might get arrested. You might get really hurt because pools are super challenging. They're not made to skate. I think about those memories as more like the times with friends and just the like kind of the awe of like skateboarding took me to this random place versus like, you know, the performance. Like I don't remember any of the tricks specifically mm-hmm. I did at that dam spillway, but I remember that day pretty vividly. Once we went to this town called Linden, Washington, when I lived in Bellingham, and we had some friends who lived up there. They're like, yeah, we got these great spots. You should come ride them. I'm like, okay. And we were skating this, it was like a loading dock with some railings, and it was pretty nice. And all of a sudden, our Linden friends were gone. We're like, where'd they go? Oh, we better kind of walk away too. And a Linden police officer pulled up and arrested me and my two friends and took us to the station. because skateboarding was so illegal in that town, we sat in the station, didn't get arrested for real, but I mean, we got brought in and they asked us to never come back to their town. Linden has a skate church and I never went to it. I went to a contest there once, but that's its own kind of funny thing to me. But yeah, they're, you know, back in the days when there weren't many places to ride, some youth ministries decided that they would build skateboard facilities and then, you know, people would ride them, but they had to listen to a sermon or, you know, you didn't necessarily have to say, you know, I believe in God, but you did have to sit through the sermon before you got to ride. Skateboarding, it's so hard, but it's also so rewarding to like almost die and survive. And there is some value in taking a hard fall and being able to get up and skate some more after that. Like last year, I fell really hard on my birthday into the steps of the pool at Marginal Way Skate Park. Like I thought I broke my leg and I was like, oh my gosh, I broke my leg. First thing I thought was like, I'm not going to be able to skate for a while. Not like, how am I going to get to work? How am I going to fly to New York tomorrow? I was like, what's going to happen if I can't skate? But then I made myself skate for like 10 more minutes, even though I could barely walk, just to like take that fall and then get back up and do it again.
Do you consider skateboarding an art or a sport or like?
That's a tough question. I mean, the way that they do contests now, yeah, it can be a sport, like, but I feel like it's whatever you want it to be for you. Like for me, I don't think of it as a sport. I think of it as like this meditative thing that I do. I can't think about anything else while I'm doing it. It's otherwise I'm going to fall. And then I think of it as an art form by, you know, like the way people approach it. You know, you could see 10 different people do the same thing and it's going to look, you know, the same trick on the same obstacle and it's going to look different, you know, for each person that does it. And each person is going to have their own way of doing it.
Once again, that's Jesse Weinstock talking with Radioactive's Zeb Tuji. It's always interesting to see how people pursue their passion so intensely.
Yeah, and here's another story about a girl who does what she loves and even if it's contradicting cultural norms.
Natalie, have you ever heard of Bhangra?
Not until recently.
It's a traditional folk dance set to upbeat Punjabi music that is usually performed during celebrations. Ashveen Mathru has been dancing Bhangra since she was in middle school. Let's hear from Melissa Takai, a fellow Radioactivian who talked to Ashveen.
So like Punjabi music is all about like the drums and having very high upbeat kind of music. There's a lot of drums, a lot of bass drops, a lot of beats, and there's a whole bunch of different rhythms that go with it. And I would blast it. I would like turn the speakers up. My grandma, she like listens to the music I put on and she loves it. And she watches me dance whenever she is in the kitchen. And she dances herself whenever she sees me. In middle school, I talked to a lot of my Punjabi friends, and I said we should do Bhangra together and dance and perform. And I talked to two of them, and both of their families were very like upset, or not upset, but just they didn't feel like, oh, girls should be dancing Bhangra. Like way back then, males danced Bhangra, and then the girls would dance Gidda, which is kind of like they just clap and just dance in a circle. And Bhangra is a lot more physical. There's a lot of like jumping and a lot of hand movements and like using your legs. So it's a lot more physically active. But yeah, just culturally, it's always been girls do Gidda and then guys do Bhangra. I was kind of motivated to dance Bhangra because it's a stereotype for girls to not do Bhangra. And when I hear my friends, this family, or their parents talking about that or reinforcing the stereotype, it's really upsetting, but then I also feel more motivated to like go against that and kind of break that stereotype. And it's not that I don't respect my culture or like my traditions or anything. It's just like of what my passion is, and if my passion involves that, then I'm gonna take it anyways. So, yeah. At first, my family was a bit like, "Oh, really? You want to perform?" But they, yeah, they were supportive. Like, it wasn't, there wasn't like, "Oh yeah, you should definitely do it," but they weren't saying you shouldn't do it. So they were very lenient. And they even came to watch my performances and stuff. So sixth grade, that was the first time I performed in front of people at my school. It was during the talent show. And I was so nervous. I was like by myself. I was on the stage, and the music was playing. And I felt so like so much pressure and like very nervous, and people were like watching me. And I was just like, just follow the steps, just follow the steps. And then at a point in the dance, there was something that clicked or something. And I would just like, just let everything go and didn't care about people watching me, and I just started dancing as if I was dancing at home again. Like, it's just so free-spirited, and like at the end of the day, it's always like you just dance to however you want to dance, and there's no like rules or steps or anything. It's just like whatever you feel like dancing, you dance. Oh yeah, it's like, will you keep dancing? Yes, I'll keep dancing. As of college, plan on like forming a bunga team or something, because I want to keep dancing bunga. And my family knows I dance so much. If I don't dance in a day, they're just like, "What happened to you? Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine."
And that was Ashvi Mathuru with Radioactive's Melissa Takai. I think it's really awesome to see girls embrace their culture while still breaking gender constraints.
I agree. This podcast was created by the advanced producers of KUW's Radioactive Youth Media Program.
Thank you to our reporters, Azeb Tuji, Maya Kanz, and Melissa Takai. And special thanks to our master mixer, Azeb Tuji.
Thank you to our editor, Jenny Sarno, and to Ashveen and Jesse for answering our questions.
Make sure you like us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media, and follow us on Twitter at KUW Radioactive.
We hope you listen to us more at kuw.org/radioactive. Signing off, this is Jad Vianu.
And Natalie Newcomb.
And you're listening to Radioactive.